1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The known death toll from yesterday's monsoon flooding in Arizona has risen to 4, with a death now reported in Scottsdale. 3 people died in and around the town of Globe, Arizona.
This is something that we could never even imagine.
A Globe council member.
We don't know the extent of the damage. We don't know the extent of the damage in the community, the residents of this community.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs has just declared a state of emergency in Gila County. Hurricane Humberto remains a powerful hurricane. CBS News meteorologist Andrew Kozak is tracking it and also keeping an eye on Tropical Depression Imelda, storm number 9.
Very strong the last couple of days, now reaching a Category 5 with winds of 160 miles per hour. I want to talk about the track on this. It's going to go a little further north and west and eventually out to sea. We're also going to be watching some potential coastal issues. We're talking not only rip currents, but coastal flooding. And then we've got 9, a tropical depression near Cuba. This has the potential to impact the Carolinas.
North Carolina Governor Josh Stein has declared a state of emergency. President Trump added another American city where he is sending troops to go in after what he calls domestic terrorists. CBS's Willie James Inman has more from the White House.
President Trump ordered the deployment of troops to Portland, Oregon, a city he called war-ravaged. In a post on Truth Social, the president said he's directed Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect Portland and its ICE facilities. The president's post comes 3 days after a gunman opened fire on an ICE facility in Dallas, killing one and critically injuring 2 others, and after a series of anti-ICE protests in Portland.
Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says Trump has no legal basis for the mobilization.
There is no insurrection, there is no threat to national security, and there is no need for military troops in our major city.
Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the Salvadoran who was mistakenly deported in March, has been in and out of detention since, has now been transferred to a Pennsylvania facility. CBS's Jared Ochacha.
His attorneys mentioned that they're concerned about the conditions at this new facility. They cited an inmate who recently died by hanging, reports of assaults, inadequate medical care, and insufficient food.
President Trump says the FBI placed agents into the crowd during the January 6th Capitol insurrection. CBS legal analyst Thain Rosenbaum.
If President Trump is correct, this raises all sorts of legal and ethical problems. 274 FBI agents is not the sort of thing that can be easily hidden from view, even if they were all undercover.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Packers head to Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff at 7:20 p.m. Green Bay with players missing from their offensive line. Tackle Zach Tom and his backup Anthony Belton ruled out for the game. Left guard Aaron Banks listed as doubtful with an ankle injury. Baseball, the Brewers still looking to clinch home field advantage in the playoffs when they host the Reds again tonight. The Crew losing to Cincinnati 3-1 on plays like in the 6th inning when the Reds' Eli De La Cruz hit a grounder into second, the ball hitting the bag and bouncing away.
That's some tough luck with a double play ball. Turns into a first and third instead of two outs. It turns into a first and third. They may not score that other run, so it would have changed the game maybe, but that's part of baseball. You know, you can't rely on luck to win or lose. So credit to the Reds. They're playing great. They haven't won too many games here in the last number of years, and they've done a good job of getting their team prepared. They're hoping they get in the postseason.
As Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight with lows in the mid-40s, patchy late fog. With sunshine tomorrow, it'll be pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. 70s and even some 80s next week. It'll stay dry as well, and we should see a good amount of sunshine. It's 71 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to one of the pioneers of artificial intelligence who's making sure folks understand the real risk of AI deepfakes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream, and all the recombobulators on the live stream. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
I am here. Always wonderful to join you here on Matt Nair on Air. And see you all here in person.
I know.
It's, in studio.
It's alive.
At Radio Park in Racine.
It's really been nice having you come into studio. Having people come into studio, period, is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because far less technical hiccups can happen. But
that's
also,
very
it's just,
true.
I feel like the energy is always better when you just have everyone vibing like jazz. It's like the stories we don't talk about. That's what you got to talk about.
Sure, Greg.
Okay. Yes, fine.
I had coffee.
Let's talk about the recombobulation area. Let's talk about Tom Tiffany.
We'll talk about Tom Tiffany. We'll talk about a really wild week in the Republican primary for governor. There's a lot to get into there, but I think the headline of the week in Wisconsin politics is that Tom Tiffany, 7th District Congressman, has made it official. He is running for governor.
Which isn't a surprise.
Not a surprise. He's been kind of running.
Well, he's been out shaking hands at state fair and all over the place. So,
can I ask a question, though, about timeline? If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there supposed to be an announcement? Like, there was a big thing about Wednesday, but he announced on Tuesday.
So they had an event Wednesday, he had an event in Wausau at this facility or whatever. But like he broke the news on Tuesday afternoon on the Dan O'Connell show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. Okay, man. I wish we could have gotten that exclusive.
Well, next time.
And you feel that he's going to be the front runner.
I do. I think
he's got the name recognition.
Well, I think he walks into this race as the front runner for a couple reasons. And I do think he is going to be the eventual Republican nominee for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field, I think, really.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't gotten Trump's endorsement yet.
Yes.
But he will.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
Trump endorsed Weed, Weed endorsed Tiffany.
It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sad 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon aside here. Tom Tiffany, I think part of it, too, is just the fact that this is a pretty lackluster field for the Republicans. Yeah. And I think, we talked about it back when I had my column about Tony Evers. I think the Democratic bench is a strong one. I think there are a lot of good candidates who have already announced, many who are considering announcing, whatever. But I think on the Republican side, like, there's not a strong candidate who has put themselves forward. Josh Shulman was the first out of the gate. He announced in May. I think it's significant that he has not picked up a single endorsement from anyone in the state legislature, or any significant Republican names. Like, you know, Tiffany announces this week, he gets the endorsement of the College Republicans.
Right
he gets
away.
The endorsement from Tony Weed. Like, at least there's something, mm-hmm. you know, like I know how these campaigns work. They want to play up the endorsement, make it a story, do yeah. it all of those different sure. kinds of things. You know, Shulman's been on the road for what, almost 6 months now, mm-hmm. Campaigning in this, and he hasn't picked up any significant endorsements at all. You know, so young guy, working hard, whatever. I don't think he has a particularly strong record to run on. He hasn't picked up a lot of support. I think there's a reason people were looking for somebody else to announce.
And I think also they don't write about him unless they're writing about the whole field and the whole race. He's not done anything that's really brought the news to him.
Right. He hasn't put out some sort of like bold agenda for mm-hmm. Wisconsin or anything like that. Yeah. He's just like, hey, I'm a younger guy and have had this job in Washington County and here I am.
I know.
Like,
I mean,
good for him. Like, you know, putting your head into the ring and running in a statewide race takes a lot. But, you know, he hasn't really picked up steam. He got his name out there, is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be the nominee.
No. Todd Albaugh had a chance to talk to him when he was traveling around the state. And Todd, at least from his perspective, thought that he was a pretty strong candidate.
Yeah.
But again, he lacks the name recognition. He doesn't have much of a record to run on. Although that brings me to my question. What is Tom Timothy Tiffany's fabulous record that he's going to run on? That he stood next to the Blotnick Bridge with the infrastructure repair bill that was passed by Joe Biden that he didn't vote for?
Jane,
I mean, what does he have to come forward and say, look what I did for you, Wisconsin?
He likes mm-hmm. Trump. Done.
That's all he needs. Yep.
He's a strong Trump ally. You know, he's been elected as a congressman 3 times. He was in the state Senate for a while before that, assembly briefly before that. So he has, you know, strong ties to state government. He understands how the process works.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. He should have a record of accomplishments.
Exactly. Well, and I think, you know, I mentioned this when I was talking with Todd yesterday as well. He authored a bill that was, you know, kind of like stripping some environmental regulations when they were talking about putting a mine in northern Wisconsin. He was one of the, you know, kind of the lead legislators behind some of those efforts. I think there are a number of things on education in Wisconsin from the Walker era that he was, you know, very much a part of that will be scrutinized. You know, he went further than any Wisconsin congressman did in 2020 to try to overturn the election results.
Right.
Like Tiffany's case to be governor, it is not a crossover appeal candidate, right?
Yeah.
It is not
stretch.
A moderate bring
no.
people together
no.
to the center. It is an activate the base. It is the, you know, play to the, try to get as many people who voted for Donald Trump in 2024 to come out and vote for Tom Tiffany in 2026. That's the play for him, because, and I also think there's like this whole, you know, geographic shift occurring if he were to be the nominee too, because the stronghold in Wisconsin for Republicans for so long was the Wild Counties.
Mm-hmm.
The three, you know, deep red counties around Milwaukee that have becoming much more purple over the last decade. And I think it is interesting to think about how, you know, okay, Josh Shulman coming from Washington County. We've had other, Brad Schimmel was from Waukesha County. We've had a lot of Scott Walker from that area too. And so I think we've had a lot of Republicans from that area that who have lost. And I think this is a sign that the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin is moving away from the suburbs and is becoming a more of a rural,
exurban
Northwoods party.
If you're just joining us, I'm Matt and Aaron Air. We're speaking to Pacific Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer. And we're talking about his newest article in the Recombobulation Area, talking about the candidacy of one Tom Tiffany, who is running for governor of Wisconsin as a GOP candidate in 2026. And there's two things for me. If I'm a campaigner, if I'm on the left, I'm going to simply say, whether he was in the state house or Capitol Hill, Tom Tiffany has never had Wisconsin in mind. For his voting record shows that. But also the question I have is, you know, he's trying to push the narrative now, like he's on farm gear, he's next to cows, mm-hmm.
I know how to shovel a barn.
He's using manure puns to point out the badness of everybody else. I didn't
mind that actually.
But the thing is like, you know, yes. Wisconsin voted for Trump in 2024 and 2016. He lost in 2020. But the two most major races in Wisconsin, both for state Supreme Court, showed a different Wisconsin on the face.
Yeah.
Like it really,
yep.
like it was a definite switch. And the thing is, it'd be one thing if it was Trump and then nothing but blue, but it was Trump blue, Trump blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, will Wisconsin stand up the same way they did in this year or in 2022, or will it be 2016 and 2020 or 2024? Because I feel like when it's a Wisconsin state race, the minds are different there. Mm-hmm. There's a different consideration to the candidate themselves. And I feel like Tom Tiffany, because he doesn't have a ton of charisma, in my opinion, and he doesn't come with a lot of record, he's going to have to push the Trump narrative. Mm-hmm. And that may push people away.
Well, again, if economically things continue the way they are, tying yourself to Trump may not be the big win that everybody thinks it is.
It may not be. And, you know, he was a vote in favor of the, you know, one big beautiful bill.
Of course he was.
Slashed the safety net in this country in many ways while increasing spending. Don't get a lot of bills that do both of those things. And also, I think it is really interesting that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin already put out an attack ad on Tiffany. And the focus of that attack ad was the issue of tariffs. There's a lot of different things you could go at Tom Tiffany on. You could go on abortion rights. You could go on various different economic issues, mm-hmm. what have you. They went with tariffs. And I think that's interesting. And I think tariffs is going to be, I think we're going to see a lot of different candidates have that focus in the midterms, because I think, you know, that is one of those things that people looked to Trump as, you know, okay, let's go back to the, you know, pre-2020, before inflation, before this, we'll get costs down, whatever.
Day one.
Tariffs have not done that. They have not made prices go down in any way. Prices are continuing to go mm-hmm. up. Tariffs are hurting our economy in Wisconsin. You guys talked about it earlier in the show with soybeans and the issue with farmers there. Actually, Rebecca Cook put out a press release saying that soybeans should be exempted from tariffs, which I thought was pretty interesting this week. But I think the fact that they have focused on tariffs as the issue, and Marquette University did some polling earlier this year on tariffs in Wisconsin. Only about 30% of Wisconsin voters say that tariffs help the economy. And so I think you're going to see this be an issue in the midterms for Democrats saying, like, the tariffs are bad for the economy. It's a pretty simple case to be made. Like, we can all see what's happening in front of us right now. I'm glad I did some kitchen remodeling before this happened.
Got the bathroom done. But, yeah.
I think that is going to be, and I saw some of the, you know, outside special interest groups like do lists of like, these are the things that are wrong with Tom Tiffany. Tariffs was near the top of the list for that too. And I think tariffs is going to emerge as a major attack ad spot for Wisconsin Democrats in the midterms.
I would also just like to remind folks that Tom Tiffany, when they talked about turning the Apostle Islands into a national park,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's because he wants to mine one of the islands.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's not because he's such an environmentalist. It's not, that has nothing right. to do with that. It's about, yeah, let's strip mine it. Come on.
I want to ask you both a question. There's
a text I want to share.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Jake in Madison listening on WXCO. Why be high-minded? Tom Tiffany is a complete moron who has a load of tape of being a fool on Capitol Hill, along with voting for every Walker policy that people hated.
Yeah.
And yes, no Senate or governor race on the ballot is a big negative for the Wisconsin Republicans. Fox will ignore the governor's race. Thanks, Jake, for checking in.
And that's a question. Another Wisconsin state politics question I want to ask both of you. I feel, and I think it's safe to say, that in 2024, during the presidential election, Democrats failed to really grasp the economy as an issue that was applicable
Absolutely.
To the people. I did as well. I was trying to push this grander idea when I wasn't talking about kitchen table politics, and that was my failure. Is this a chance for Wisconsin, Devin Remicker, and the Wisconsin Democratic Party to, in putting out a statement about tariffs, that's very, mm-hmm. very intentional. Is this their chance to finally try to craft a message that talks about the economy that's A, very truthful, B, not mind-numbingly boring through explanation and detail,
right.
and C, appetizing to the voter of all stripes?
I think you're onto something there.
Okay.
And I think that is, it would... there's opportunity to strike a real economic message right now.
Yeah.
And there's things tied to the bill, you know, the big ugly bill. There's things tied to tariffs. There's things tied to all sorts of, you could call it, corrupt activity happening in the White House.
It's corruption palooza. Come on.
Allegedly.
Festival of corruption.
You know, the scene from the inauguration with all the tech billionaire CEOs there with Trump as well. Like, there is an economic case to be made, an economic populism type of case to be made that I think we can and should see In the months ahead.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area author, Civic Media's political editor. Join the conversation at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath and lighten things up and get away from the news.
We clean your ears with fun.
Thank you. Today's Audio Sorbet, since doors open in Milwaukee, is happening tomorrow, which is a great event.
Love it.
If you have never taken part, you should. And we're going to include the link in our show notes. Mm-hmm. But it's an opportunity, if you live in Milwaukee or the Milwaukee area, to get into buildings that normally you can't get into.
If you're not skilled enough.
So our Audio Sorbet question is, if you could get into any building in the country, what building would it be?
In the country?
And in the country.
In the country.
And I'm going to say, like, we're going to, like, don't say Fort Knox.
You can say Fort Knox.
Well, okay, fine. I feel like that's your thing. But then I feel like you have to put your tin hat on. You'd be like, I got to find all the gold.
The CIA vault in Langley so I can drop down like Mission Impossible.
Oh. Area 51.
There we go.
Where, if you had the opportunity to get in any building in the United States, what building would it be? Mm-hmm. That's our question for Audio Sorbet coming up after the 10:30 news.
And I'd love to see the people on the live stream let us know. When Dan's here, and thank you, Dan. Dan always gives us the Schaefer bump. We see a lot of people watching, and we appreciate you.
A lot of people join on the stream when you're here.
I want to hear from you. Where would you go if you could get in a building anywhere in the United States, the world? Heck, if you think there's buildings on Mars. I want to hear from them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So join us after 10:30 for Audio Sorbet. And then we end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Mayonnaising edition. Stay tuned for that. Before the break, we were talking about Tom Tiffany and the Republicans who are running for governor here in Wisconsin. We don't have a lot of time left. We didn't mention Bill Berrien at all.
We got to mention Bill Berrien a little bit here. He's had a tough week,
it's
Mr.
not
Berrien.
Been a smooth week.
Not has been a great week. So the headline early in the week was GOP Gov candidate Bill Berrien scrubs links to sexually explicit social media accounts.
A whole bunch of them.
Sounds like he had an account on Medium. He was following a number of people, including a transgender porn star who we decided during the break. I cannot say their name on the air.
I prefer that you didn't.
And then the follow-up story in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Dan Bice. Trans porn star rips GOP governor candidate Bill Berrien for, quote, hypocrisy over X-rated web links.
Well, again, just to put this into context, yes. Bill Berrien is a family values guy.
That's right.
Right? Yep.
He made anti-trans positioning crucial to his message running for governor. He put that in his first campaign ad.
So was he following these accounts so he could become educated?
Doesn't seem that way.
No. I'm trying to help out here.
You know what? What he does in his own time is his own business.
That's true.
You know what? That's a very... Okay. Go on. Yeah. Okay.
I will say what he does on his own time is his own business and is not. But when he is making a core message from his campaign that he is a family values Republican, yep, and he is staking out these explicitly anti-trans positions, that becomes a problem. Then he is a hypocrite. Then he is deriding something that, you know, I don't even want to get into whatever the rest with it. But I think, you know, for one, not going to help him in a Republican primary.
No,
I don't think at all.
Although the apologizing on his behalf on the right is pretty astonishing.
Oh, yeah.
It really is pretty amazing. I follow some accounts on Twitter that are very far right, and they're like, I don't care who he follows in his personal time. If this were a Democratic candidate, it would be an entirely different matter.
It would.
An entirely different matter.
I know which account you're talking about, and the words were, I will not contribute to the destruction of a person, but yet they have no problem contributing to the destruction of Dan Bice, the author of this article talking about the hypocrisy. And you're right. That's what I was going to say, Dan. You said it perfectly. And there's no version of the GOP in this universe, I believe in the multiverse, but not in this universe, does there exist a GOP that could just relax it a little bit, like, look, do what you want.
Live in your personal time.
Exactly. You can't. It would make it so much easier for them because we're always seeing them get caught red-handed. And I'm not even talking about the criminal aspect of it all when they're getting busted for horrific crimes. I'm talking about stuff like this. Like, dude, yeah, you like some stuff that's a little spicier. Go live your life. But when you make it your platform that it's the devil, mm-hmm, you can't. Sorry, you're not brand loyal now.
Well, and it's tough when it seems like the Republican Party can't stop inserting themselves into our personal lives, which is what they want to legislate.
And they always talk about the, you know, we need to keep government out of people's lives. And then in every social and cultural issue, they have to get into the mm-hmm mix on everything, yeah, instead of just letting people live their lives. My goodness.
Yes.
Just let people be.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't want to do that, no one's making you.
No.
Yeah. No one's making you.
It's so much easier. I will say this from personal experience. It's so much more stress-free when I don't have to not only worry about other people's behavior, but also worry about telling them that their behavior is wrong.
Or policing their behavior, right?
I feel like I sleep way better not having to worry about the decisions of adults.
So, but from a political standpoint, one last point to make here before the break. There was a story out yesterday from WBAY with the headline, Governor candidate Bill Berrien cancels GOP event appearance in Manitowoc.
Yep.
And I will read one passage from that story. The county, so a few minutes before, they basically announced to the room that Berrien would not be showing up. And then the story says, the county chair then made the announcement to the crowd inside the shelter, and some people applauded.
That he didn't show up?
That he didn't show up.
That's not a good sign.
Tough scene.
Yeah, that's
tough
not,
scene.
That's not so good.
I don't think Bill Berrien's campaign is lasting much longer.
We have news coming up next. By the way, a shout out to Romeo16 on the live stream from Toronto.
Hey, bud.
Thank you for listening in Toronto, Romeo. News coming up next, and then audio sorbet. What building in the country, if you could get inside, would you take advantage of it? Where would you go? That's all on the way. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. On the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up in Toronto on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. The death toll in Arizona flooding has risen to 4 with a fatality in Scottsdale. 90 miles away in Globe, Al Gameros is mayor.
I think our priority once we were able to open downtown is to let the business people in first. If those buildings are secure, I know we have our staff out there looking at buildings. We have a lot of buildings that are really bad.
3 died in that area. President Trump announced he's sending troops to Portland, Oregon to handle, quote, domestic terrorists. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says he's abusing his powers.
Our city is a far cry from the war-ravaged community that he has posted about on social media. And I conveyed that directly to him, that we got this, we are good, we are doing fine.
CBS's Omar Villafranca reports most people detained by ICE don't have a criminal record.
The latest federal government stats show that ICE is holding more detainees who do not have any criminal charges or convictions. They do have civil immigration violations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Packers head to Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night on Sunday Night Football. Kickoff at 7:20 p.m. Green Bay with players missing from their offensive line. Tackle Zach Tom and his backup Anthony Belton ruled out for the game. Left guard Aaron Banks listed as doubtful with an ankle injury. Baseball, the Brewers still looking to clinch home field advantage in the playoffs when they host the Reds again tonight. The Crew losing to Cincinnati 3-1 on plays like in the sixth inning when the Reds' Eli De La Cruz hit a grounder into second, the ball hitting the bag and bouncing away.
That's some tough luck with a double play ball turns into a first and third instead of two outs. It turns into a first and third. They may not score that other run, so it would have changed the game maybe, but that's part of baseball. You know, you can't rely on luck to win or lose. So credit to the Reds. They're playing great. They haven't won too many games here in the last number of years, and they've done a good job of getting their team prepared. They're hoping they get in the postseason.
As Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if you guys remember, I broke that whole Tom Holland getting a mild concussion story last week. Even though it might not seem all that important given what's happening in the world, in the spirit of real journalism, here's a follow-up on his condition. The 29-year-old is just fine and has been released from the hospital. Sony and Marvel are taking precautions and keeping Holland away from the set for a week to fully recuperate. The studios say this will not delay the release of the film. I can't imagine missing a week of grade school because I bumped my head on the swings. Here is a drama thriller to put on your radar. A House of Dynamite is still 2 weeks away from theaters, but generating a lot of buzz. The plot? A missile is launched at the United States, and there is a race to find out who is behind it and what the response should be. The film's directed by Catherine Bigelow, who oversees a hotshot cast, including Rebecca Ferguson and Idris Elba. The film will be available to stream October 24th after a brief, limited theatrical run. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight with lows in the mid-40s, patchy late fog. With sunshine tomorrow, it'll be pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. 70s and even some 80s next week. It'll stay dry as well, and we should see a good amount of sunshine. Currently, it's 66.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Working on a mission. It's a sure foundation.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our one and only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers in action later on today. Greg Bach will be there.
Come say hi. I'm the guy who looks like me.
Brewers hosting Cincinnati. Our broadcast starts at 6:35. You cannot listen to the game on the stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio. But catch the game on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and our newest Milwaukee Brewers affiliate, WBZH, in beautiful Hayward.
Hi, Mark Lundin.
Hello, Mark. 6:35, our broadcast starts tonight as the Brewers host Cincinnati, so check that out a little bit later on. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to take a breath, get away from the news, and just relax for a little bit, have some laughs.
Audio Sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
We're going to have a new open for that. An official open.
Yeah. I wonder if there's anyone who can do it better, though.
I think you do a great job.
Okay.
It's great. You've come up with an accent that is completely indecipherable. I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
We'll put a little reverb on it.
East Coast-ish.
Yes. That's a good way to describe it. So our topic today for Audio Sorbet, tomorrow in Milwaukee, and I highly encourage you to check it out if you have never done so. It's called Doors Open Milwaukee. And it is an opportunity for folks to get inside buildings that normally are off limits to the public. Hmm. It's really a really cool event.
It really is. They started doing this maybe 15 years ago that they've been doing this in Milwaukee.
Yep.
It's really fun. It's a good family experience too, because you can bring the kids and go to these old buildings and kind of wander around and explore a little bit.
When you get in you can get backstage in some places.
That's right. Yeah.
In the basements of some places.
It's very cool.
It's really fun.
There's a huge long list of places that you can explore there. If you go to the Doors Open Milwaukee website, I was just pulling it up here during the break. There are 165 different places on the list here for the Doors Open list for places you can check out. So really a wonderful event all the way around.
And I just think it's a great way to appreciate what's in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, there are some we have some of the greatest architecture in the country.
We really do. Yep. Some really phenomenal buildings. And it's, go check them out.
So we will include the link to that article in our show notes. So if you want to check out Doors Open Milwaukee tomorrow, and that will include the whole list of places that you can get into. Some of them I think you had to sign up for already. But again, lots of places you can get in for free tomorrow. So check that out.
And Sunday as well.
Yep. So that led us to our Audio Sorbet question for today. If you could get into any building in the country, what building would it be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brett from Brown Deer texted in way early because he wanted to get in on this. If I could get into any building, I would pick Bill Murray's house.
Boy, that felt very invasive all of a sudden. Like, just,
hey, it's
I'm here.
It's wide open. Why not?
Honestly, he kind of seems like the type of individual who, if they said, I'd love to see your house, he'd be like, come over today at noon.
Yeah.
He would or wouldn't. Like, there's no, like, I could see him doing, he's done really quirky things.
And quirky nice things and kind of quirky crabby things.
Oh, yeah, he's a weirdo.
He seems really grouchy.
He's a weirdo. He's a pure weirdo. And people, there was that time, like, I was feel like the teens, the 20-teens, there was just a little too much Bill Murray worshiping happening.
There was the after that Zombieland
That was great.
Cameo.
Oh,
I think that was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he would have to not be home because I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, can you not follow me?
Well, yeah, can you get out of your house so I can go peek around your house?
A different approach here for the Doors Open Milwaukee question for that one. Just like, which is my favorite celebrity and I'm going to their house.
And I want to snoop in their house. Why not? It's wide open. If you could get into any building in the country, a Doors Open U.S.,
yeah,
what would the building be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. John from West Bend texting in, listening on WAUK. I would get into the Hall of Records at Mount Rushmore.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
That's cool.
I didn't know there was such a thing at Mount Rushmore.
That's fascinating.
It is.
I like that answer.
Ronnie,
that's a good one.
Ronnie from Horicon says, I would like to get into this torch on the Statue of Liberty, which has been closed for 100 years.
Wow, that's a cool idea, too. I went to the Statue of Liberty last year. Up, though. I was there. I went to New York with my wife to celebrate our anniversary last year. And we went there. I'm not great with heights, so I didn't do the walk up with the Statue of Liberty.
She's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if it's like in an elevator and I'm enclosed and like all of that, I'm fine. But the open air stuff, no, thank you.
Oh, tell me. Yeah. And I'm with you on that. I used to be fine with heights. I used to jump out of planes. Can't do that anymore.
You used to jump out of planes?
Yeah. I went skydiving three times.
It's great.
That's awesome.
It's really fun. You should do it. It's fun.
No, thank you. my wife has asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was just like, absolutely not. Why would I? I'm not great with heights to begin with. Why are you throwing me out of a plane?
You want to push me out of a plane? What are you telling me, honey?
The first time I went, I called my mom afterwards and said, hey, I just skydived for the first time and I have a DVD. I'll bring it over. She goes, thank you for telling me after. But yeah, but also really quick side note, and we'll get right back on track. You and your wife do the best trips. When you talk about the trips that you and your wife take, you do vacationing correctly.
You do it the right way.
Yeah, we love to travel.
I think that's important. And especially with two kids, I think a lot of parents will be like, we'll do it later. And no,
we get after it with traveling.
There you go.
Good for you.
Sure.
Yeah. If you could get into any building in the United States, Doors Open US, where would it be? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Where would be your place?
Oh, I'd try Fort Knox.
There it is.
Just to see if there's any gold in there still or not.
Just go take a look around. Maybe take a couple sheets of $100 bills.
Well, just to find out if it hasn't been rampaged already.
Who got away with all our gold?
I feel like we need to. I feel like, Calvin, I should have asked you for the X-Files theme song for this one.
Appreciate it, Ollie. Thank you. 855-752-4842. Doors Open US.
Mm-hmm.
Any building in the US, if you could get inside it, where would it be?
Yeah.
Greg Bach?
Can I do two?
Sure.
Okay. First local, and this is going to be no surprise to anybody. It'd be the ballpark, the Brewers Stadium. I would love to run around. I mean, they do tours and they're great, but I would love to run around there for like, you need a full day. You're like, all right, morning, we're starting the basement. We're working our way up and just run around the bases.
It's a big facility.
Yeah, I would love to do that. Just see all the memorabilia that's in the offices that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
And maybe sit at Mark Antanasio's desk and make a phone call saying, I'm selling the Brewers. And, you know.
Sell.
But the other one would be, and this also is no surprise and pretty basic if you know me, is I would love unfettered access to the Grand Ole Opry.
Ooh. Oh, that's the Greg, the most Greg possible answer
well,
there.
Well, you're a big music fan.
I am. And I went there. I did their tour. It is absolutely amazing that you get a lot of access to for that building. But I would also just like to see, I would like to sit in the dressing rooms. You can see them, but you can't go in them. I would stand on that stage and
just soak up the vibes.
Yep. And I would go there with unfettered access. Absolutely. The Opry.
855-752-4842. Our question today for Audio Sorbet. If you could get into any building in the U.S., which one would you pick? This kind of is a companion along with Doors Open Milwaukee, which is happening tomorrow. You should go. It's fabulous. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK, says, I would like to get inside the UN Secretariat building in New York City.
Can I tell you? Want to see if the elevators work? Is that the
escalator?
Escalator.
Be careful on those escalators.
I was so close to landing a good joke. They're deadly.
Can I give you a little
fun fact about Greg?
Sure.
In 2007, I did a month-long seminar through UW Milwaukee, go Panthers, where I had a quote-unquote a job at the UN with all my classmates, and we went there 5 days a week, and we met with various leaders, whether they were ambassadors, the high-up assistants. And I had a badge that got me into the building like an employee. And one of those rooms I could go into, I got to go to security council meetings.
Wow.
And
I will say this. You know me. You know I love process. And I love a good law show. But it's incredibly boring because everything's done in the rooms outside of that big room. Yeah. All the deals are made. So when they're coming out, they're really just voting
on these things. It's already a done deal. Yeah.
But when you do it for the first time and they're voting on a package of aid bills to help Sierra Leone at the time because they were being ravaged by the warlords, even though it was just about voting yes and that was it was still one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
I believe
to
walk it.
And that actually goes back to what I said before about Jesse Waters. It makes me even more angry because I met those people. And it's bureaucracy of a global scale, but those individuals love what they do, and it was so much fun.
855-752-4842. Doors Open U.S. If you can get inside any building across the country, where would it be? Dan Schaefer.
I don't have a good answer for this, to be honest with you. I can't, like, off the top of my head. My brain is going to conspiracy theory stuff. Because I want to get, like you mentioned, like Area 51 or Fort Knox or like all these different stuff. I just want to know the real thing, you know, to get the real White House tour or whatever else, like that kind of stuff. But can I share one Milwaukee related Doors Open kind
Absolutely.
Of adjacent story? Mm-hmm. So the Pabst Theater is one of the places that's usually on there. It's not on the list this year, so they must have shows this weekend going on. But at the Pabst Theater, I did this story about this guy who was the caretaker of the Pabst Theater for 40 years. I did this story when I was at Milwaukee Magazine. And so I got to go along with him and I got to go above the chandelier in the Pabst Theater and walk. There are like these weird planks above it.
The catwalks.
The catwalks up there and he is up there all the time, like making sure that things, and they do this thing once a year where they lower the chandelier and clean it.
Yep.
And they usually invite media in to do this whole thing. So it was like around that time. So I got to go above the chandelier in the Pabst Theater.
That's pretty
cool.
So
that was pretty cool. So like, if there are those types of things in, you know, famous historic buildings around the country to get really, really behind the scenes with like someone expert guide, you know, to take you along with it, that would be super cool.
Calvin, what would yours be?
I didn't think I had a good idea, but for whatever reason, Brett's Bill Murray's house kind of sparked in me something adjacent to that sort of. It's not really a property, or it's not really a building. It's more of a property with multiple buildings, but Skywalker Ranch in California.
Ooh, that's a good
pretty
one.
Good. Yeah.
I think that would be
that's
pretty
the George
cool.
George Lucas.
Yeah, George Lucas's movie production property.
There might be people who don't
There's
know
not
that.
Another Skywalker Ranch.
There might be people who don't know that's
okay,
George
fine.
Lucas.
Okay, fine. They had a life. Fine. They didn't. Did you know that Skywalker Ranch has its own fire department? I know that because I have a Skywalker Ranch fire department patch, and it's like a regular fire department patch, but with the Millennium Falcon on it.
Listen to how excited
I have done so few things in my life.
Anybody else want to get in before we go to break? 855-752-4842.
Did you say one?
I didn't. Mine is very specific to me. One of my first jobs during high school, I worked at the gift shop at Holy Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of Hartford, outside of Erin in southeastern Wisconsin. I worked at the gift shop at Holy Hill, and I was convinced even then that there are secret passageways in that building. I would want to get in to Holy Hill.
Yeah.
And take a torch.
Doors Open, Holy Hill.
Yes. I think there's secret. I have no basis for this.
Should we contact them? Should we try to get a behind the scenes tour for Jane?
Let's do it.
Let's put an
if
email.
If anyone is listening who is involved with Holy Hill,
I'm sure they're listening. Yeah. Let
Why
us
do you
know.
Want to come here? We think there are ghosts.
All right. We're going to wrap it up when we return with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Mayonnaising Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media. Media Radio Network.
And work on the building too. Well, I'm working on.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Michigan's Supreme Court will hear a challenge against the Line 5 pipeline, the same oil pipeline Canadian oil giant Enbridge is pushing to reroute across northern Wisconsin. Opponents argue the Michigan Public Service Commission broke state laws when it approved the company's plan to drill an oil tunnel under the Straits of Mackinac. A new report from the Alliance for the Great Lakes and Clean Wisconsin shows nitrate pollution is taking a toll in our state. Thousands of families are paying higher costs to access safe drinking water and facing serious health risks because of nitrate pollution from fertilizer and manure. In 2022, farmers likely applied 16 million pounds of excess fertilizer beyond what crops needed. Right now on the Defender podcast, what do data centers mean for our water, land, energy bills, and why is it so hard to find out? An in-depth conversation on the secrets of data centers. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest today. And all next week, and coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman, he will have the next keyword for you. You have to enter it using the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it yet, go to your app store, look for Civic Media, download that. It is absolutely free. And then be ready for that keyword in the 11 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock with Todd, 5 o'clock with Maggie, 7 o'clock tonight with Pete Schwabba on Nightlight. All kinds of chances to win our daily prize, $200 in cash, gold jewelry, and then the grand prize, those great indoor seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd at noon. So download the Civic Media app, and get ready.
That's going to be a fun game to watch. And also,
right before Thanksgiving, what a great time to be there.
Just also a thing, too, because I saw this coming through on the text line last night and this morning. If you're hearing a show after Pete Schwabba, those are repeats. You can't enter on repeats.
So
you're aware, you cannot enter the contest on repeat episodes. And know this, once Pete's show is done, the contest is done for the day. We'll be back with Pat the next morning or on Monday morning. But yeah, repeats, you cannot enter on repeats.
Just so you know.
Yep.
Coming up next week on Monday, Civic Media's news director, Shelly Pittman, will join us to give us a recap of the weekend news. And then our friend David Drake is going to be here. We had a little signal cross earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. David Drake from UW-Madison is going to join us to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin ducks.
Yeah.
And what that means. Yeah. So I hope you can join us coming up on Monday. Calvin, it is just about 10:55. It's getting late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Toronto Sun, Danette Wilford, with the byline. Headline reads, Hellman's offers to save Spanish cafe after alleged arson over mayonnaise.
Wait, this was in Canada?
The Toronto Sun reported it happened in Spain.
Oh, my God.
A cafe owner in Spain is getting its business back on track. Thank you to Hellman's Mayonnaise. After a disgruntled mayonnaise-demanding customer allegedly started a fire. Cafeteria La Postas in Seville.
Oh, she got the...
You like that? Took to Instagram to share their news. This afternoon, we suffered an attack in which a customer who was coming to our cafe asked us for a couple of packets of mayonnaise. They told him they didn't have any, so he quietly left. That was not the end. He stopped at a gas station right down the road, filled up a gas can, came back to the cafe, demanded mayonnaise. When told, no mayonnaise, no ketchup, he doused the counter and set it ablaze. That seems a little extreme.
I need to know more about this man's totally bad day.
Right?
Because I don't know I need to know what happens. Like, this needs to be followed up on, because you ask for condiments. They say no.
We don't have them.
You say, oh, well, thank you very much. I'll have a wonderful day. You press the door, the little bell dings, and you go on with your day. You're like reading your book or listening to the music. And then he comes back and asks again, and you're like, still don't have them.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, there must be punishment then. And look, I'm not saying every other country in the world is brand spanking amazing, but this does not feel like a Spain story. This feels like a Florida story.
Yeah, it really does. No, this happens all over the world, Greg.
It happened in Florida, Spain.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if that's comforting or not, that it's not just happening here.
No.
Hellman's Mayonnaise, after hearing about the story posted on social media, Cafeteria La Postas, we're sorry we weren't there. From now on, count on us, says Hellman's. Let us take care of the repairs, and we will make sure your sandwiches never run out of mayonnaise again. The alleged arsonist suffered burns. No one else was hurt. He was restrained by bystanders and arrested.
Yeah.
He was ordered into custody without bail. I'm pretty sure in jail, they don't have mayonnaise either. I'm speculating.
They don't have Hellman's. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
They have like, you know, just
it's a miracle
just a packet. A package that says mayonnaise and it's got one S and you're like, oh, disgusting. I won't lie, you know, and I want to know more about this guy. I feel like if your day goes so poorly or your life is not going well that this is your reaction to lack of mayonnaise, then...
You think it's deeper than that?
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, but I feel like, you know, I hate to see his reaction to a massive inconvenience. Like, sorry, sir, we ran out of bread.
Don't even tell him that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I want to know more.
Well, we'll see if we can find a follow-up. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. By the way, congratulations, Max FM.
Yes.
They hit their goal over $5,000 yesterday. They requested a thon for Hope House.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody who took part and donated. It was a wonderful thing to see happen.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For calling and and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Michael Toscano. Another death has been reported in Arizona's floods in Scottsdale. The total now 4. Residents in devastated areas will get a bit of relief, as CBS News meteorologist Andrew Kozak tells us.
The good news is that once we get into your Sunday afternoon and early Monday, we're going to start to turn this rain off. Great news for areas like Globe, about 90 minutes east of Phoenix, where we saw some deadly flooding. In fact, in the last 48 hours, 2 to 3 inches of rain there.
Residents in the coastal Carolinas are bracing for what's expected to be a lashing from Tropical Depression Imelda out in the Atlantic. National Weather Service meteorologist John Carello is tracking it.
We do expect it to slow or stall near the South Carolina coast and then turn east into the Atlantic away from the United States. While less likely, there is still a concern for a South Carolina landfall.
President Trump is going to be meeting with